Joyce, you're becoming so gifted here. Move pulpits, play piano. Have your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I like to be able to take things somewhat in a theme fashion, and when we hit Father's Day, I enjoy talking about the responsibilities we have as dads. How many of you know my background growing up in a home without a father and having years and years and years of not celebrating Father's Day? Then over the last 18 years being able to do so, it's a great privilege for me, and I always enjoy this day and be able to celebrate. Also happens to be 5 years that we've been here. This would be our anniversary week. 5 years. You guys didn't... You guys are applauding yourself for endurance, aren't you? No, but praise the Lord and His working, and just amazing His sovereignty to bring us here. Those of you who have come within the last 5 years weren't able to be a part of that transaction, but we're excited about what God is doing here, and God has obviously brought you in His sovereignty to be with us as well, to be able to serve the Lord together. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I've entitled the next few chapters in Corinthians our worship series, and working through the idea of what the Apostle Paul was talking with the people of Corinth in regard to their worship, and in a sense differently than what worship is usually tagged. Worship is usually tagged that activity where we get together and we sing and as a congregation and such. But as you look through the Scripture, you understand that our whole life of dedication to God is our act of worship. You go back to Romans chapter 12, verse 1, which it talks about giving our bodies a living sacrifice unto God is our, in a sense, our spiritual worship that we give unto Him. And Paul is giving some practical elements as he talks about how that the people in the church should interact with each other in their interaction with God. And as I take this and look at it from the perspective of fathers today, I hope that you'll understand that I realize that 1 Corinthians 9 is not writing about fathers, okay? That I realize that 1 Corinthians 9 is talking about the Apostle Paul's responsibility and role before the people of Corinth and how he's interacting with them. And I understand that the whole goal there is for them to understand where he was coming from and help combat some of the false notions that were coming from other sources so that he could actually have the impact of teaching that God had designed for him to have. But yet, as you look at that passage and recognize that we as fathers have a role to play in the lives of individuals, there are several things that we can apply to our lives as we look at Paul, for Paul refers to himself, to those who he's reached with the gospel, as their spiritual children, and he is their spiritual father. So many times, what the Apostle Paul is doing is modeling in a spiritual fashion, as a spiritual father, how we as physical fathers should be behaving ourselves. So many times we get that backwards. We try to interpret God the Father based upon the fathers we know here on earth, or we try to look at spiritual fatherhood from the perspective of what we see physically on earth. And really, it's the other way around, that we understand basically what a father should be by looking at God the Father, and the same thing as far as our looking at spiritual relationships. But at any rate, we're here in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and the first part of the message is designed to look at what Paul is saying about himself in regard to these people. And then I want to take and apply it to how we as dads can use that in our lives as well. But before we do that, let's have prayer, and then we'll look at 1 Corinthians 9, 1 through 8. Father, again, I thank you for the privilege of being a pastor and being able to be a part of the lives of these individuals, and many of which are not with us today. But, Father, we're thankful for the opportunity to be able to in a sense, be a spiritual leader in the lives of these folks. And I pray, Father, that I might be faithful in this area. Lord, I pray that as we look at this chapter and we recognize the role that we have as not only as fathers, but any form of spiritual leaders, that we'll recognize how that our worship of you entails sacrifice and being willing to set aside some things that we might otherwise interpret as rights in our life. And I pray, Father, that I might be capable of communicating this truth to the dear folks that are here today. Thank you again for this privilege of sharing your word, and pray again that you will be glorified through what is said and done. In Jesus' name, amen. Worship with sacrifice, example of fathers, dad, modeling sacrificial worship. First thing we're going to look at, if you have your notes and want to fill these in, is number one is Paul's argument. Paul's argument. As I stated, I'm very much aware that Paul is not talking specifically about fathers here, but about his relationship as an apostle. And what we want to look at from his argument is this first point is that he deserved his payment. That's very interesting. If you look at the life of Paul and you read through what he did in the book of Acts and read through his letters that he's written, like Corinthians and Galatians and Ephesians and Philippians and Colossians and all that type of stuff, you don't see him as a man who talks a lot about what he deserves. He refers to himself many times as a servant, as a bondservant, and rarely does he actually get up and say, this is my position, this is what I deserve. But in this particular case, he does. And I think it's very interesting to highlight this and to look at it. For first of all, he says, in regarding to deserving his payment, he says this. In verses 4 and 5, he introduces himself as apostle in verse 1, and he talks about how that he asks the question, do we not have a right to? The first one was, do we have not a right to eat and to drink certain things? Do we not have a right to, second one, have a believing wife? And he goes on to talk like the other apostles, even Cephas. So those of you that are concerned whether Peter was married or not, Paul reaffirms it here in an account in the Gospel, talks about Peter's mother-in-law. So, I mean, there's undoubtedly Peter was married sometime. Paul wasn't. And Paul's saying, don't I have a right to have that? Don't I have the right to have that kind of experience? He goes on to say in verse 7, he says, even those who go off to war don't pay for their own pack and their touring and all that type of stuff. The country pays for that so they can go to war. And a farmer, when he goes out to sow all the field, he's able to reap from that and gather from that, and a shepherd is able to take care of that. Then he goes on in verse 9 and 10, he says, when an ox is working, and he quotes the Old Testament, says even God has said this, when an ox is working, you don't muzzle the ox so he can't enjoy the grain that he is grinding. And he says, I don't believe that was just for the ox's sake, that's for our sake. And the same thing for plowing and threshing, etc. And in verse 11, he says we should reap material things for the spiritual sowing we're doing in the lives of other individuals. So Paul is constantly building this case about the fact that he might be their spiritual leader and how that a spiritual laborer has the opportunity to be reimbursed for his labors. And then, of course, the right of spiritual leaders to receive material gain, verses 13 and 14. Now, I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time in regard to this for two reasons. One, it's Father's Day, and I want to talk about fathers. Two, this is kind of talking about the roles with the spiritual leaders and things like that, and really I'm not that interested in spending a lot of time talking about how much a pastor deserves and all that type of thing. But Paul is establishing the fact that it is not inappropriate for him to receive physical provision for the spiritual investment he's making in the lives of those in which he has spiritually fathered and is leading along. And that's his point here. But yet, he goes on quickly in this narrative, and again, I'm going through it very, very rapidly myself, for the sake of just emphasizing, he spends in each of those points talking about, this is why I deserve to receive, okay? But then he turns the corner, and he says in verse 12, he says, nevertheless, we have not used this right, but endure all things, lest we hinder the gospel of Christ. Apostle Paul is saying that all these things that I'm very much aware of, that my position as being the apostle and being a spiritual leader in your life, I know that all these things are deserved by me, but I would not take on those rights, lest I would hinder the gospel. Verse 15, he says, but I use none of these things, nor have I written these things that it should be done unto me. In other words, he's saying, I am not writing these things so you'll feel compelled to send me financial remuneration for the things that I've done. But he's establishing a case that the worker is worthy of his hire, but I chose not to do that. And he says also that when I preach the gospel, verse 18, I may present the gospel of Christ without charge, that I may not abuse my authority in the gospel. He's very clearly declining his payment for these people. So this chapter is establishing Paul's willingness to sacrifice things that he was very much aware that were due him, so that the cause of the gospel might go out for the glory of Jesus Christ. And this sets for us a pattern that we can look at, not as his fathers, and we'll give you opportunity to fill in the blank, okay, a little bit later on in the next major points. But the point is, he's saying that as an apostle, I am very much aware of what is required of you in helping me do my work for God. But I'm choosing to resign those rights to be able to accomplish that what I believe God would have me to do. It doesn't say he does that in all cases. It doesn't say he didn't take anything from any of the other churches. But he's saying in this particular case, with you, this is what I'm doing for the people of Corinth. He's establishing for them that his willingness to sacrifice for the gospel. And if you are familiar with what we've talked about over the last several weeks, about what he's established, everything from the beginning of talking about the importance of unity and harmony in the church and the importance of being willing to set aside our rights for those other individuals and to be able to establish not our freedoms, but our love that restricts our freedoms. Paul gives an example of this in chapter 9 now to help us be able to recognize his willingness to sacrifice for the sake of worship. That was Paul's argument, and you'll talk more about that in your encore groups, and I was aware of that, so that's why I didn't develop it as much here. But I wanted to get to talk about the next part. It's called Papa's Application, okay? I want the alliteration there. So Papa's Application, Paul's argument, and Papa's Application. How are we going to apply it to Dad? First of all, we want to recognize position as a, and this is where you can fill in the blank, because this maybe you don't want to look at this as far as how it applies to you as a dad, but you want to put something else in. But on your notes, you can either put recognize position as a dad, or you can put whatever you believe your position is in this scenario of your responsibility, but to note that Paul recognized his position, and we to and ready to sacrifice, we must recognize what we have in Jesus Christ. Paul says, am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are you not my work in the Lord? If I am not an apostle to others, yet doubtless I am to you, for you are the seal of my apostleship in the Lord. Paul took the time to establish his position. I think this is critical to understand a sacrifice. You see, God hasn't called us to necessarily look at what we have and say it's not worth anything. To take our positions, our situations, when he says not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think, in Romans chapter 12, verse 3, he's talking about us as individuals and putting an emphasis on us as a personage. But I believe that he's always called us to recognize the impact of our position, the impact of what role we play. And if we, you know, if Paul were to say that his role as an apostle was not impacting, he would not be being truthful, neither would he be actually elevating the sacrifice that he's giving to these people. And so what I do here is I look at an application to myself as I say, Paul emphasized the fact that he had a responsibility before God as an apostle to these people. I need to look at my responsibility as a dad to see that as something that God has given to me, not as something that's just a default, not as just something that's a lowly position. It's a very exalted position throughout Scripture. In the Old Testament, the dad was undoubtedly the patriarch, the godly leader of the home, the priest of the home for much of the Old Testament history. And that that picture is not put away. God still anticipates that the father would be the one to be the head of the home and be the one to lead in these particular areas. And so as recognizing my position as a dad, I must recognize it, first of all, by appointment and in light of the fact that God has made that position. I can look at myself and say, I am not worthy of this position of being able to be a father of such fine children. But I can say, God has placed me in that position, and I need to be willing to step up to that role and recognize it not as some lowly position, but as a position that God anticipates great things to happen as a result of. The Apostle Paul is saying being apostle is of little merit. He's using the term apostle because that's the term that God had impacted on him so he could have an impact on the lives of others. To be a dad is a great impacting thing. He also talks about not only has he seen Lord Jesus, who is the one who had given him that role, he says, are you not my work in the Lord? He's talking about his investment of his time and energy. He's talking about the people of the Corinth. He says, am I not an apostle by seeing the Lord Jesus Christ and being appointed to it? Am I not an apostle based upon the fact of all the time and etc. I've invested in you and you've seen the work of God working through me? And we look at that in our roles, whether you're dad or whatever you put in the blank, that we must recognize our position as being one of a great investment, of one that is of very great importance because of the investment. And finally, by evidence, he says, says, for you are the seal of my apostleship in the Lord. You are, in a sense, the evidence of my apostleship and my work, my impact on you. You can almost see, he's saying, I can see my image in you. I can see what I've done as a servant of the Lord in you. And the same thing can be said of a father who's willing to follow God, that the impact that they can have, the time and the energy invested, and the impact that comes from that. And all these things help develop the fullness of this role of dad, of the importance of taking that role seriously, willing to do that which God has called us to do, not to take it lightly. And why do I take so much time on this point? Because I think that if we're going to sacrifice, we need to recognize what we have. We need to recognize where we are in the scheme of things. If we just come in and say that my role in the body of Christ or my role in the impact of other people is nothing, then as I choose to defer to other individuals, I'm doing it not from the perspective of recognizing where I am and what I can do. I'm doing it more from a perspective of I don't think I can have an impact, or I don't think I am worthy of doing particular things. Another way to look at this is in Philippians chapter 2. The Apostle Paul clarifies that the reason that Jesus Christ could lower himself in the form of a servant and to set aside all those godly God attributes was because he was confident that he was God. You know, he was able to set that position of being God and being in heaven, and because of his confidence of who he was able to serve even greater. And I look at that from our perspective, whatever role God has called us to do, that we don't look at that as a lowly role, but as an important role to accomplish great things for him, I can be used of God as a wonderful, sacrificing servant. Too many times we misunderstand what humility is all about. Sometimes we get the idea, we sit there and say, I can't do anything for God. I don't have any abilities. I don't have any place to accomplish anything. Nowhere in Scripture is that said. The Bible says I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The Bible says that we are ambassadors for Jesus Christ. The Bible says that we have great responsibilities for God. We are called by Him. We are chosen by Him. We have great, He's established in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We will rule He's establishing our position as believers in Jesus Christ. And as we keep that in mind, we'll recognize what we're willing to resign. We're confident in our position. And I challenge dads to be confident in the position God has put you in. I know what it's like to come into that situation, being fearful and wondering where I stand as far as a dad, growing up without a father, not seeing how it worked, being very self-conscious about that whole process. It was only the truth that God has established that position that gave me the certainty to step up to the plate and be the type of dad that I believe God wanted me to be. It wasn't based on what I saw in myself. It wasn't based in what my history had been of being successful. It was based on the fact that God had called me to that position, and I had to be willing to perform in that particular position. Now, the second thing, going along with the Apostle Paul, was very confident in the role that God has given to him, very humble in the sense of being willing to use his gifts for God. He was willing to resign his payment. I can resign my payment as a dad. You know, we can get an idea that we have certain rights to certain things because of who we are. As a dad, I can say I've got a right to be respected. Ephesians chapter 6 says, honor and obey your parents. Ephesians 6:1. We want to encourage that in our children to help them to know to obey and honor, etc. And I could say I've got the right to be respected. I can also say I have a right to be in control. 1 Timothy chapter 3 says those who are in spiritual leadership need to have their children in gravity or in control. They have to have their house in control. And I can say I've got the right to have control in my house. I have the right to be appreciated. Romans 13:7 says those who are in leadership are due their particular respect, etc. And you can fill in the blank on there. I have the right to be whatever, loved, served, followed. I have a right to be relaxed. I have a right to be in a home that's quiet. I have a right to all these various things. And we could say, because I've done this, and I'm the dad, and I'm etc., we can get caught up on these rights of that particular position. But the Apostle Paul modeled for us that he wasn't willing to allow that to get in the way of his responsibility of being an apostle. We should not allow our rights to get in the way of our responsibility being fathers or whatever you put in that blank. For in letter C, we'll look at what the motivation on that is that I should be willing not only to resign my payment, resign those things that I think I should get, resign those things that I should get as being dad, I should be willing to reveal what my passion is. Apostle Paul said it this way, yes, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. Paul is making sure they understand he's in this position not because of the perks that go along with it. He says, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. For if I do this willingly, verse 17, I have a reward. Verse 18, what is my reward then? That when I preach the gospel, I may present the gospel of Christ without charge. The Apostle Paul was revealing his passion to the people he was writing to, letting them know that I am an apostle and I love being an apostle. And what he's communicating, isn't it for the glory? Isn't it for all the perks? Isn't it for all the freedoms? Isn't it for all the opportunity to tell other people what to do? He's in it because God has given him that privilege and he enjoys being in it, and he doesn't know what he would do if he couldn't be it. And as I look at that from perspective of whatever God has called us to be, and today we're talking about dads, I understand my responsibility as a dad that I need to communicate that I have a great passion to be a dad. I enjoy being a dad. I want to be a dad. I want to be able to fulfill the responsibility of a dad. And I don't want to be a dad just so I can have all the perks. I don't want to be a dad just so I can have kids that will do things that will please me or impress others about me. I don't want to be a dad so I can have children that I can tell what to do and see if they would do it. I don't want to be a dad for all these things that come with great perks of being a dad. I want to be a dad because it's the right thing to be, for God to call me to be that and to be excited about it and have a passion for it. That I'm willing as a dad to not make my goal to be respected, not make my goal to have control over other people, not make it my goal to be appreciated, but make it my goal to love unconditionally and love and lead as God has called me to, and let God work in the hearts of the others to be willing to do that. That's what the Apostle Paul was saying here in regard to his people there in Corinth. He said, I have a right to receive payment from you. I have a right to receive. I have plowed, and I deserve, but I don't want that to hinder our ministry. I want to show you that I'm not in this for the perks. And we can apply that to whatever area of ministry we want to, that we don't have to be doing what we're doing just for the perks, just for the things that we can get out of it. And I want to encourage us to think through this sacrifice. First of all, what do you have? What is it that you have in Jesus Christ? What is it that you have? You can't give up much if you don't think you have much. If you don't think you have much in Christ, there's not a whole lot you can give up. If you don't think you got a lot going for you, there's not a whole lot of sacrifice there. And here we are asking the question, what do you have? Our position in Christ is not without benefits. There are great benefits of being a servant of God. And we can look at those, and certainly one of the benefits is receiving praise from other people. Another benefit is encouragement. All these things that ought to be done. All ought to be done, but if we're serving for that reason, then we've missed the point of sacrificing and giving for the purpose of just fulfilling our role as a servant of God. What are you willing to give? What are we holding on to so tight that we can't give up? Is it the right to be respected? Is it the right to be in control? What are those things that tend to want to hang on to that said, they better respect me, I'm dad. They better let me, do this, I'm dad. Am I willing to let go of these things and let God take care of that and model and instruct and teach for the glory of God? And finally, why? Why am I willing to sacrifice? Why am I willing to give up these things? Am I willing to do it because of my love for the ministry, love for what God has called me to do? The Apostle Paul gave us a great pattern for why he does what he does, that he could emphasize that I deserve this, I deserve that, but he said, I'm going to do it because I believe it's the right thing to do. God has called me in this position. It's not a lowly position. It's a very exalted position. Am I going to serve so that I can get out of it? Or am I going to serve because God has called me in it so I can have an impact in other people's lives? And I challenge you as we look at our role as dad, and certainly dads ought to be honored and respected. Certainly dads ought to have control in their homes and should be obeyed. Certainly, dads ought to be appreciated. And certainly, ministers ought to be reimbursed. And certainly, there is a pay for the investment for people that do. But the point is, what is our willingness in regard to sacrifice? Is it because we love it? Are we in it because of it? Father, we close our time and look at this word. We know it can be applied in a lot of different ways. And we think of the Apostle Paul and his great example to the people of Corinth, how he sacrificed and how he was willing to go without. And Lord, maybe in our lives there's some things that we need to look at that I haven't even come close to touching upon this morning, that you're working in the hearts of individuals, that maybe their rights that they're hanging on to, and as a result they become discouraged in their role as maybe as a parent, or even as maybe a worker, or maybe as a church attendee, or whatever it might be, that Father, that they might recognize that the position you've called to them is a good position. It's one to be exalted and one that should have great benefit to it. But Lord, they need to resign those great benefits to you so that they can be confident that they're doing this for you, not for themselves. Again, we thank you for this privilege of being able to share your word, and that you might be the one to receive the glory. In Jesus' precious name, amen.